It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Jonah. We're in the third chapter. We're going to, we got down through to about the fourth verse last time we were together. We're going to start reading at verse 1 and read the chapter. Jonah chapter 3, that's where we'll begin in just a few moments. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Glad that you've joined us today and would love to hear from you. And we have the means by phone, and our phone number here is 217-847-2717. To write to us would be Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43. To send an email, it would be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. And if you'd like to check out our website, it's parkviewbiblechurch.org. We've got many good studies there. I just please that you would look to the study. We have the plan of salvation there. It is both ways written, and also you can listen to the scriptures and the questions and things, and please that you would look to there would be wonderful. I would love for you to take a look at that. And also our Constitution is there as well. And so please enjoy it. Many studies there for you to come to know the Lord Jesus and then to grow in the Lord Jesus each and every day. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Jonah chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose, went into Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth and ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of the word. Father, we just thank and praise you each and every day that we can know you as our Lord and Savior, that we know that our sins have been taken away from us. There's no reason, Father, that you should show such love to us, to the people that hate you and despise you, and yet you loved us so much that you sent your Son that he would die on the cross for us so that we might live. And Father, thank you that we can come to know you as our Savior and know for sure that we're born again, we're saved. Father, just I thank and praise you for that. I thank you for your precious word that you have given us, that we can enjoy it each and every day. And so please guide and lead us now as we study this. And I just ask that you would turn all the ears and the hearts and the minds over to your will and way today as we have this precious study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a revival. One of the greatest revivals ever noted in history took place by this one man as he entered into a city, as the scripture tells us, a day's journey. The city was 3 days. We've talked about that. It was kind of three. Nineveh was the capital, and we have suburbs around, as we do in our cities today, no different. And so he traveled 1 day's journey in, and the city was 3 days' journey. The estimates of somewhere between 600 to 800,000 people, and that's according to what was listed over here in verse 11 of chapter 4, when it tells us 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and the left. And that's, you know, explaining the age. And so we take the adults and all that remain. It's estimated that there's somewhere between 600 to 800,000 people that are in this city, and so are in the suburbs as well. So now we have this message, and it was the message that Jonah has given. It was not a message that was from his heart. It was a message that was given to him. The words was from the Lord. The Lord told him what to say, and that's what he said. And the message, I believe, is probably a message that Jonah, maybe sad to say, enjoyed giving. Because, you see, Nineveh is in Assyria, and it is a very, very wicked area. Very wicked. And we know that Assyria comes down and captures the northern tribes of Israel and takes them into captivity. We have much concerning Assyria, especially, and here's Nineveh, the capital, and the filth and the way people were living and the things that they were doing and the idols that they were worshiping so much. Yet God sent this messenger to go proclaim these words. Well, they were words, again, that maybe Jonah kind of enjoyed. They were Gentiles, they're wicked, and here's the message. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. It doesn't say, but if you repent, you know, God will turn. Jonah's words didn't say that. Jonah's words were very clear. Yet 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. Nineveh shall be destroyed. Now, as we look at these words and we wonder, you know, as Jonah proclaimed that, and we know by his response later that he really, really wanted to destroy him. Jonah, I think, had quite a hatred for these people. Number one, they're Gentiles. Number two, they're wicked. And so Jonah was looking forward to the wrath of God. We need to be very careful that, you know, we have many enemies, and we need to be careful that we maybe don't like their lifestyle, we don't like the way they live, we despise and even hate what they do, but they have a soul. And that soul, the difference between that soul and the hatred and the evil that they do and the idols that they worship, that soul has been misguided, does not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. That's what they need. They need to be saved. And so we need to look at them in that manner. Yes, hate what they're doing, but please don't hate the soul that's down there. Just take the gospel to them, because that's what they need. You know, we've kind of left the side of it that, you know, we need to love everybody. Well, we don't have to be around everybody, and we do need to hate the sin that many people are in. We are not to be a part of it. We're not to agree with it. But we still need to do everything we can do to bring the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection to those individuals, as in Nineveh here, who knows what kind of lifestyle that they had. But God demanded or proclaimed that in 40 days it's going to be overthrown or destroyed. God is a God of mercy. But that mercy comes only when we turn to Him and repent. He doesn't just hand His mercy out freely for everyone just to continue to worship idols, to live a lifestyle that is with the perversion today that we have with two men living together, two women living together, all these things. The individual we need to pray for and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will turn from their wicked ways, not continue in their wicked ways. Jonah here had a statement in 40 days. Now, in itself, there's mercy there. God could have just destroyed him. He could have done the same thing with Noah and the ark. All the years and years and years that Noah built the ark, working on the ark, preached to repent, turn from your wicked ways, because there was a way of salvation, and that was to get on the ark. But everybody poked fun at him, and the living and the lifestyle just continued. And God destroyed him after a period of years. Here, his mercy is 40 days. I'm going to give you 40 days. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to give you 40 days. That's my mercy. And it was mercy, great mercy. He could have, without a word again, just destroyed him. But he didn't. He sent a messenger. That messenger's Jonah. And the message to him was, in 40 days. So we have a lot of things in here in this precious little book of four chapters and a page and a half in my Bible. One is the 3 days and the three nights, picturing the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. What a beautiful picture we have there, and Jesus himself makes reference to it. But also then we have this picture here of his mercy once again, 40 days. So the people of Nineveh in verse 5 here. And again, I looked at the map and Jonah went down, as the scripture says. Let's just flip back a page here. And Jonah rose and flee from unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. And so we know that he went down to Joppa, and the map that I had, had a little line, a little arrow from Jerusalem, and actually over against the coast, straight across from Jerusalem, to Nineveh, and it's just almost 600 miles, almost 600 miles apart. Again, Nineveh is over in Assyria. Get your maps out so you can kind of see where we're talking about here, and it was a Gentile city, a Gentile nation, and we find that he finally, after a little coaxing or being swallowed by a fish and spending 3 days and three nights there, and then God bringing him back, as verse 10 says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah unto dry land." And he told him what to preach, and that's what he preached. And that preaching in verse 4 is, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God. Those are wonderful words. The people of Nineveh believe God. In 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. There was no promise. We are given no word saying, or if you repent, or if you believe me, and turn from your wicked ways, then will I save you. There was no words given. The words were, in 40 days, I'm going to destroy you. In 4 days, you're going to be overthrown. Now, I get a question, and just kind of think on this a little bit. Again, what promise did the people have? What would you do today if the word would come that this country was going to be destroyed in 40 days? Just going to be. What would you do? Would you empty out your bank account and go buy everything that you could buy and just live it up go out and get drunk or get high or whatever things people do in this world today that think it's good and makes you feel good? And is that what you would do the last 40 days before it was finished, or would you just laugh it off and say, I don't believe that for a minute. That's just I don't believe it. I love those words. The people of Nineveh believed God. And believed God enough, they said, proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And very humbling. They took off all their fancy clothes and they put on sackcloth, and showing that the humility that God, I am nothing. Have mercy on me. That's their plea. Have mercy upon me. And even the king, we have in verse 6, the word came into the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and with ashes. Please have mercy on me. The king. What would happen today if the leadership in our country would listen to the warnings that God gives us? We are not told when the rapture of the church is going to take place. The scripture tells us today is the day of salvation. So we need to plan on today. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be in a year from now, it may be in 10 years from now. But the time is coming, and I believe it's coming very soon, that Jesus is going to return, not all the way to the earth, but he's going to come down, and we will meet him in the air, those that are alive, and those that are dead will go before us, our graves will be opened, and we'll receive our beautiful glorified bodies, and what a wonderful day we're going to spend with the Lord. And at that time, then, just believers will leave this earth. And then there's going to be a 7 years of the worst time. The first 3.5 aren't going to seem too bad. That last 3.5, that old devil's going to show his truth. You see, that's your God if you don't trust in Jesus. He's going to show what he really is and what he's about. And for that period of time then, you're going to wish that you could die. Please, that the rocks would fall on me. And you can't. You'll have to take the mark of the beast in order to eat and work. And at the close of this most horrible time upon the earth, that is when the Lord Jesus with ourselves will return. And the Lord Jesus with the sword in his mouth, and that be the word of God, he's going to speak judgment. And all the evil will be destroyed. And so there's a day coming. Now, I don't know whether that's today or tomorrow. They were given a time period of 40 days. And it is wonderful because this generation believed God. Now, it's not long that the very words that the Lord spoke here will be overthrown or destroyed came to pass. But not with this generation. This generation believe God. These people believe God. And they just ask for mercy. They pleaded for mercy. Why did God give them 40 days before the deadline would come? Because God is a merciful God. He was giving them opportunity. Now, you have opportunity. If you're still breathing, if you're still alive, you have opportunity. But if you face the grave, it's over. It's done. There's no second chance. There's no place where you can go to await the final decision whether you're good enough to move on up or you go on down. Those are lies. The decision is made here and now, and you need to make that decision as this city of Nineveh. What a tremendous, tremendous day, and what a wonderful show of believing God and what the result is. Because we know down in the 10th verse that God chose not to destroy him. Now, we're going to kind of cover this a little bit, and I've got a couple of verses of Scripture here in Jeremiah and Luke that we're going to take a look at, because I want you to realize that the changing of the mind was by the people of Nineveh. God tells us the wages of sin is death. That's what he tells you. That's what he tells me. So am I going to die and have an eternal death and be totally separated from God forever? No. Did God change his mind that he can just kind of look on some sin and be okay? No. There was a means, there was a way of salvation. And that was by believing. And you need to do the same today, or you're going to face that time of judgment. You need to trust in the Lord Jesus. You need to call upon him. Do not wait one more day. Because, you know, whether the time of the rapture, that the church is going to be taken from this earth, it could be within days or minutes or hours, years. I don't know. Again, he gave 40 days. But you know, if you read the newspaper, if you listen to the radio, that I don't care how old you are or how young you are, there are people that are dying that are younger than you. There are many people that are dying that are younger than me. And we must come by faith to the Lord Jesus before that time comes. Is Jesus coming? Oh, most definitely. Is death coming? Most definitely. Prepare. That's what these people were doing. Let's see what they did. Let's see if this is something, please, that you would respond and do the same. Oh, I'm not going to put on sackcloth and ashes. I'm not going to fast. We're all sinners. We must have God's salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for you. That's the only way. There is no other way. There's no works. There's no all these other things that are going on today that seem to be a way. Maybe you're depending upon your baptism. You've been deceived. You've been lied to. Maybe you're depending on your works. No, filthy rags, the Scripture tells us. Just go to the Word of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the wages of sin is death. So how are we going to get from death to life? The same way these folks did. They believed God. They believed there was a Savior coming. And that Savior didn't come for almost 900 years. But they looked forward to that salvation that he would give and take their sin away. And so the people of Nineveh, verse 5, believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. What a wonderful, wonderful picture. That fast, you know, fasting, the Pharisees, they used to fast. And they would fast to the place that you could see it in their face. Their face was drawn, and they just so burdened because they were so holy. No, they weren't. A fast is between you and the Lord. If you want the Lord to have control of your life, and then you can between you and the Lord decide that, okay, today I'm going to spend this time with the Lord. I'm not going to eat. I'm just going to wait upon the Lord, and I'm going to fellowship with the Lord. I'm going to study His Word. I'm going to be in prayer with Him. You know, you can do that even at work. But don't let anybody else know. They ask, you know, why aren't you eating? Just, I'm fasting. The question would come then, are you getting ready for a test? And so it's between you and the Lord. No one else should know that you're fasting and that you're seeking the strength of the Lord for something that's coming. Or you're seeking the will of the Lord on a decision you need to make. Maybe there's something so special you just want help. And so you're going to go to the Lord in prayer and in fasting. But it's not to be known by anyone else. And so these people here, this was a little bit different because everybody fasted. And the king even proclaimed, published throughout Nineveh, the decree of the king saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. That's in verse 7. And so it was a national fast, but it was still between each individual and God. And we are finding the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, and so they desired to seek God's will, to please God, show us mercy. We are turning from our wicked ways, and we're pleading with you that you will spare our lives. What a wonderful day. And we look at this great nation that we live in, and the mess and the everything that has become the norm today. It is so sad. Marriage is nothing. The abortion is nothing. It's the norm. What a sad day. And whether you believe it or not, God's going to judge us. And without question, as with the nation of Israel, He sent nations, evil nations, against Israel and empowered them to come against them. And it's going to be the same thing with us because we have become so ungodly. We need to repent. We need to have a revival like they had here in Nineveh. What a great day. They believed God. God, you're going to destroy us in 40 days. Now, their plea was, you know, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from His fierce anger and that we perish not? See, there was no promise. There was no guarantee. There was not even a word to that thought. But they believed God that He was going to destroy them, and the Scripture says overthrow them in 40 days. They believed God. And the only thought that they had, the only possibility that they had, was that if God would please see that we have turned to Him, we have believed Him. The nation turned, you know, or the city, Nineveh, all the king, from them all the way down. Now, maybe the leadership that we have from the president all the way down, maybe they don't turn and see their wicked ways and repent. But you sure can. And I pray that they do. You may ask what they have to repent of. Just the things I've listed. All the evil that's going on in this world, and people are agreeing with it. I believe in traditional marriage. No, I don't believe in traditional marriage. It's a mess. And the reason is because they have left the Word of God. They've left the presence of God. Just Nineveh here, Jonah, one man proclaimed this word. But it was the Word of God. That's the difference. We need to proclaim the Word of God with the power of God. Please, please call upon the Lord Jesus today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?